covering the crew all season long on WTMJ. It's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue. Here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
It was stressful, and it maybe took one more inning than everybody expected. But the Brewers are 1-0 against the St. Louis Cardinals in 2024. And they're 1-0 in extra innings. Hi, everybody. I'm Dominic Cotroneo. 2-1 the final tonight. William Contreras gets the better of Big Brother Wilson. He gets both RBIs. Of course, the game winner in the top of the 10th inning. Freddie Peralta was terrific once again. And Hobie Milner gets his first career save in the big league. So a lot to hit on today. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620 is the call and text down if you want to join us on a Friday night. Again, I'm Dom. Please be joined by former Brewers pitcher Jerry Augustine here in Augie. Before we get into some of the minutiae and the details of this game, the Brewers, this kind of felt like 2023 in a way, just a grinded out, gosh, white knuckle, hang on for dear life, and get her done in the end.
Well, you know, after we win a big game on Wednesday, you get that 1-0 bullpen shutout. You get look at tonight, and you got Freddie on the mound. You got to feel good about the way he's been pitching. He's been their number one guy, and Gibson really threw the ball well for St. Louis. It was a good game all the way up, but you know, you look at this ball game, and what does it come down to? Pitching and defense and some tough decisions by managers. And it came out that the Brewers made the right decisions and came out with a 2-1 win. A big win for the Brewers. A good way to start the series and the road trip.
Yeah, and let's get to some of those manager conversations here as well. Let me just start with the Yoel Piamps conversation. A lot of folks are making the assumption of, oh, he didn't have enough time to warm up. What were they doing? Why did they leave him out to dry like that? Let me just set the stage here real quick. I agree in part, but a reminder, this is the third time in the last four calendar days that Yoel pitched. He pitched the last two games against San Diego. He probably didn't need to pitch on Tuesday, but he hadn't pitched in 4 days. And you had the off day yesterday, of course. But also, I also want to remind you that this was nobody on, two outs, McGill looking A-OK. And then in the blink of an eye, a two-out walk, and then a base hit up the middle while the runner is going, and it puts men on the corners. It literally happened in a span of two pitches. So Pat Murphy was faced with the decision. Do I let it ride with Trevor McGill, who's clearly out of gas, or do I go get Yoel Piamps and hopefully he can warm up in time on the game mound? Obviously, both of those things did not work out, and the Brewers had to go to a 10th inning to win this game. But what did you make of Yoel Piamps coming in the 9th inning?
Well, I think that's where you get it. It's a tough decision. You know, but all these managers, all the managers in baseball know their pitchers, and the pitching coaches all know how long it takes a guy to warm up. So I think what Murph was trying to do was giving him as much time as he could to warm up. And usually when you get in these situations late in the game, after you get into the season a little bit, you can get ready in 7 or 8 pitches. Everybody's just a little bit different, but it was a little bit of a rush job for Piamps there. I thought it was a good decision to bring him in. I think right now, when you look at McGill, he had been out for several days with a head concussion and not pitching for a while. And it looked like he was running out of gas. To bring Piamps in that situation was a good idea. It didn't work out what you want, but I think the amount of time that he had to warm up may have had a little bit to do with it. But most of these guys, these pitchers know that if they have an opportunity, they have to be mentally prepared to come in the game. But not only that, they all know how long it takes for them to warm up, how many pitches they need to throw in the bullpen before they're ready. And maybe Piamps thought he was ready by that time.
And I hate bringing up the old guy's name and saying Voldemort's name, but this is what Craig Counsell did better than anybody. He always had a plan for his bullpen 3-4 steps ahead. I'm not saying Pat Murphy did not have a plan for his bullpen. The plan tonight was stay away from Yoel Piamps as long as he could, and he couldn't. In my opinion, what I would have done, and again, I'm not the manager, I'm sitting here with an armchair, I get it, and it's annoying, I hate doing this. If there was anybody that was going to throw multiple innings today, for me, it would have been Elvis Peguero. Because in the event he runs out of gas in the 8th inning, then everything gets moved back. McGill can come in there, and it's always tough to get that up-down, right? It's always tough to kind of have that adrenaline flush out of your body, sit, wait, then get back out there, right? That's the hardest thing for relievers. I know you spent a big portion of your career as a starter and then in the latter half as a reliever. There's something to that, right? There is a flush. Can you paint that picture for us?
Well, it is, and then I think it's just a matter of how much you want to throw a guy. And I think when you're looking at the Pagero type situation, you know, you're starting this series with St. Louis, and if you can, you'd want to use him more than one day out of this series as you get along after you have Freddie Peralta. But I thought it was a good idea to get Pagero in there. You could have gone a little bit longer with him and then shortened the Miguel thing. Staff, because he hadn't pitched in a while. That's a train of thought. But Miguel came in, and he's been throwing the ball so well before he had the little concussion incident and had to sit on the sides a little bit. And he's the kind of guy that you get late in the ball games, has been throwing real well. I still think Piamps was the right guy to bring in. I thought maybe he was rushed a little bit. I think he's the guy you want to put in that situation to put out the fire and move on from there. But it didn't quite work out the way he wanted. And every once in a while, yeah, kind of jumped the gun a little bit. But I think all bullpen guys understand that they'll have an opportunity to come in the game unless they're told they're shut down. And mentally, that's a big part of it. It's just a matter of how long does it take you to prepare to come in the game and be ready to pitch and be ready to throw strikes and get ahead of hitters and get through that inning.
So that was a massive decision. And a reminder, the Brewers are adjusting these first 3 weeks of the season without Devin Williams. A reminder, as I've said over and over on this show, what it's like to have a generational closer back to back to back to back, it feels like. And when you suddenly have questions in the ninth inning, how much of a luxury that all was. So that's just a quick reminder here. It's not going to be this way all season, hopefully. But let me flip things here over on the other side. I was shocked, absolutely shocked here, Augie, that Ollie Marmol was okay to pitch to William Contreras. To set the stage, top of the 10th, placed runner is on second base with two outs. Willie Adames is on deck, and I know Willie's off to a good start of the season, but I'm just going to be completely honest. I know they're both poison in the eyes of Ollie Marmol. Pick your poison, they're both poison. But if I have an opportunity to not pitch to William Contreras, I'm not going to. He has been the MVP of the Brewers and maybe of the National League to this point in the year. I was flabbergasted that they did not intentionally walk him.
It kind of surprised me. I think when you look at Contreras, especially look if you follow what the Brewers have been doing lately, when you look at any time that the Brewers have been able to put runs on the board or need a run or need a big hit or need a big rally started, Contreras has been in the middle of it. And he's been that game changer when you talk about players on a team that really have a positive effect on you. And it kind of did surprise me, because if there's one guy in the lineup that was putting the ball in play, hitting the ball to all fields, he was that guy. And he's the one guy in the lineup that you have to fear, because he's come up with so many big hits for this ball club since the season started. In the last several games, he's been very, very important. So it kind of surprised me. I think the Adames thing of Willie's been come up with some big hits. He's hitting 300, swinging the bat pretty well. That might have had a little effect on it, but pitching to Contreras right there kind of surprised me, especially at that time in the ballgame.
Yeah, in the road team in extra innings, they're always trying to get the second run. Your priority is Blake Perkins on second base, and obviously the single up the middle got things done. For the Brewers side of things, in the bottom of the 10th inning, them intentionally walking Wilson, maybe the old school way of thinking here is like, wait a minute, you're walking the winning run on base. What are you doing? But the weight of it to me is like, if I pitch to Wilson Contreras, who's the hottest hitter in the Cardinals and the only hitter that I'm actually afraid of in the Cardinals lineup right now, he can end the game at any moment. I don't even want him swinging the bat. And Pat Murphy handled that test well. As much as we criticize what happened in the ninth inning, I thought he handled that perfectly. He put the four up immediately as soon as he saw Wilson get announced.
Well, you look at what he did in the game. He's on the base four times. You look at the at bats. He had a big base hit. But the at bats, you got to look at what he did. He fought some really good pitches throughout the ball game. He's the kind of guy that you just don't want to hurt you right now. He's a guy, when you look at Goldschmidt and Arenado, they're both struggling a little bit right now. And another case there, you look at who's hitting behind him. Gorman was hitting behind him. He had already struck out in the sixth inning off of Freddie with the bases loaded. And he struck out a couple other times tonight. So here's the guy who's struggling right now. Who am I going to go to? Am I going to go to a Contreras, who's their leading hitter, who's had some really good at-bats tonight? or am I going to go to Gorman, who's really struggled, and we've been able to get out and get him out? I thought Pat Murphy made a great move right there.
That was massive. Let me get to a few texts here before we head to our first break of the night. When is the last time a catcher won the MVP? William Contreras could be on his way. He is so clutch. And Milner looks like he's back. That's one from Doug in Baraboo. To answer your question there, Doug, Buster Posey won the MVP in his peak years in 2012. He also won the Silver Slugger that year, which was the year that, if I'm not mistaken, he stole it from Lou Croy. Anyway. He won the MVP. He's the last catcher to win MVP, but that's a very good question, and maybe that could be something to do there. Just how you draw it up, Dom, always a blood game with the Cardinals. Fantastic start by Freddie. He deserved the win. He is a Cy Young candidate so far, and Contreras, an MVP candidate as well. Congrats to Hobie on his first MLB save from Aaron in Illinois. Let me get to a few more of these texts in just a little bit. Also, I remind you that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you by Fifth Third Bank. With a local Milwaukee team, Fifth Third Bank also knows how to hit it out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making capabilities to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Let's shift over to Augie's expertise after the break. We're talking some pitching after this on WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
The phone number to text in or call in is 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. I got a few texts here about some strategy and about terrain. We'll get into those in just a little bit. I'm Dominic Catronio here with Jerry Augustine once again. I've also got my Twitter poll up. Who had the player of the game poll? Right now, William Contreras is leading that with 51% of the vote. Freddie's in second at 37%. Got about 250 votes in right now. A few of the responses there from our own colleague, Vince Vetrano, here on WTMJ. Freddie pitched so well, but Contreras versus Contreras, and little brother wins the day. Aaron, once again, not really a bad choice, so tough to keep the home team off the board with a man on second. Congrats to Hobie on his first MLB save, but I picked Freddie. Because it's just so difficult to pitch six scoreless innings and a great play at the plate. Let's talk about Freddie here, Augie, because in my opinion, from my observation, I don't think Freddie had his best stuff tonight. And yeah, you look up at the board, six shutout innings, only four hits allowed, and seven strikeouts. Do you think I'm onto something there? I mean, this dude's pitching like an ace. Even without his best stuff, he can get by a big league lineup.
Well, you know, he's in that situation now where he's been able to come in the game and adjust. We see the maturation of Freddy Peralta over the last several years. We all knew he's got great stuff. He's got that electric fastball. He's known as Fastball Freddy, but it's really the breaking ball and the changeup and the complement, how they complement the rest of the stuff. But the way he dominates the strike zone, I just think it's been phenomenal. He's been able to make the adjustments during the game, saying, if I don't have my stuff, I still know what I can do. If I hit the strike zone, I keep the ball down with my good fastball, elevate my four-seam fastball, and use my breaking ball effectively, I can still be successful. And I agree with you. I don't think he had his best stuff tonight, but he had stuff enough to know when he needed to reach back to get that little extra, he could go back and get it, and it really paid off. Pitch number 100, I thought, was a play of the game when he struck out Gorman with the bases loaded 3-2. I thought that was one of the huge plays in the game, but also the play at home base, his hustle getting a home plate and getting Contreras out was huge. But just the way he goes out and battles and understands that if he commands the strike zone, gets ahead of hitters, he can keep his team in the ballgame, and he's done that all year.
Looking at some of the numbers a little bit deeper now, Freddie threw 100 pitches on the nose. 56 of them were strikes, so easy percentage there, 56%, a little lower than what his normal rate is. But what really jumped out to me was the slider today was not its normal self. Kind of a coldish, cool, raw night. Ball wasn't carrying well. Maybe he was having trouble with the grip. We saw a few hangers, a few spinners out there. He threw 29 sliders tonight, Augie. Only 12 of them were strikes. And of those 12 strikes, three of them were whiffs. So they had eight swings on those 12 strikes. So they were seeing it well and trying to attack it. I was a little worried about that, but otherwise, you know, he got a total of 13 swings and misses today. Six of them in his last inning of work. Like you said, having a little bit extra in the tank today. And he is Fastball Freddy, but I think people need to start paying attention, like you said, to his secondary stuff. He has continued to develop that better and better as time has gone on.
Yeah, there's no question. You know, I think, Tom, when we still talk about Freddie, I always call him the carnival because he can give you so much. He can give you the great fastball. He's got that off-speed stuff, and he's really fun to watch because he comes right at you from that cross, throws across his body, that angle. I thought tonight he maybe was jumping out a little bit with his breaking ball. And one of the things, when you're a type of pitcher like Freddie Peralta, most pitchers are described as either a tall and tall, they just stay upright like a lot of pitchers are, like Colin Ray. He's a up and down pitcher. He just stays real tall, goes to the plate. A lot of the bullpen guys do the same thing. Freddie's a little different. He drives to the plate. He gets out and he extends to the plate. And when you do that every once in a while, your release point changes on your off-speed stuff. And I thought tonight maybe he was jumping a little bit, tried to overthrow it maybe at times, or tried to locate it too good at times, and it just wasn't there like it had been in the past. But that's going to come and go. But again, we go back to Freddie Peralta, the ability to make adjustments to what you have working for you that night, using that fastball competitively, and that's what he continues to do, and that's what makes him successful.
The stat that really jumps out to me, though, here is, so he allowed 6 base runners total tonight. 4 of them reached with 2 strikes, so he was getting ahead and working counts very, very well. And he also did not allow an extra base hit tonight. And he did have the 4-pitch walk to Wilson Contreras, but again, being smart, being careful, picking his spots against the Cardinals' best hitter, and then took his chances with Nolan Gorman and struck him out to end the game at 94 miles an hour. I was so impressed, going back to what he does best. When your back is against the wall, go back to what you do best and get the fastball. Another guy that went back to what he does best is Hobie Milner in that 10th inning. Went back to the curveball to freeze Gorman. I mean, he had the 2 biggest at-bats of the day, right? Striking out with the bases loaded in the 6th and striking out with the tying run on 3rd and the winning run on 2nd base in the 10th inning. He had the golden sombrero tonight, 4-for-5 with 4 strikeouts. And Hobie Milner dropping the curveball, getting him looking. There's no better feeling than that to get your first big league save.
Well, it's big. It's being able to locate the ball. We saw when Hobie Milner tonight came in with one of the hitters he struck out, he threw the ball in the outside part of the plate. When you throw the ball from Hobie Milner, the angle that he throws, you can pitch the inside part of the plate on left-hand hitters or away from right-hand hitters. That's your dominant side that you can usually throw the ball and have very good control of. But when Hobie Milner is on, and when he's throwing the ball very good, he can really dominate that outside fastball to left-hand hitters as well as inside on right-hand hitters. That makes that breaking ball that much more effective. He went to that breaking ball. The breaking ball, I thought, was as good as he's had it all year. I thought the breaking ball was a little bit sharper, and he had better mastery of it tonight than he has had in the past. But kudos to Hobie Milner. You come in and get your first save of your career. It's a special night. And I'll tell you what, he came in a tough situation, and he did a great job by getting that first guy out. And having, when you look at it, when he had Arenado coming on with the out, now he could work Arenado wherever he wanted, got Arenado to ground the ball out. Then he was in a good position after walking Contreras to get Gorman out, and he did just that.
It was very impressive stuff, to say the least. Very quietly, and I know that they've had a little bit of tribulation here, especially waiting on McGill to return, but the Brewers' bullpen has been pretty solid as of late. In fact, this goes back to last Friday, opening the series in Baltimore. The Brewers' bullpen, over their last 7 games, has thrown 30 2/3 innings, has only allowed 6 runs. Now, I know a few of those runs have come in crunch time, and who cares if they've only got a 1.76 ERA if all those runs are being scored at that time. But I still remind folks, this is not the full-strength bullpen. Just getting McGill back today was huge. I imagine Brian Hudson's going to be hot tomorrow. I imagine we'll see maybe Hobie go back-to-back tomorrow. The bullpen has quietly, maybe it's not the same names or the same dominance that we're used to, the bullpen has quietly put together a very good week of games to stabilize things as the pitching staff. You know, you had the short start by Wade. You had a bullpen day on Wednesday. You had D.L. Hall struggle in Baltimore. I've been really happy with what the bullpen's done overall.
Yeah, I think it's very good. I think this is going to be one of the best bullpens in all of baseball. They have so many guys out there that can do so many things, and everybody's just a little bit different, but everybody throws strikes, and I think that's what's going to be so important. I think when any time, Dom, you go into a season, and it's no matter whether you've got new guys or you've guys been there before, it's still that takes that time to get that continuity in that bullpen to figure out how you're going to use a guy. Who's going to be that stopper that's going to come in after a starter and shut down an inning or give you a zero on the board? Or who's going to be that setup guy before your Devin Williams that comes in to stop, end the game? It takes a little bit of time. And now when you don't have Devin Williams there, you're not 100% healthy in that bullpen. You got to make adjustments. And I think that's what Murph is trying to do. He's trying to figure out who he can put in the position to be the best he can be at that time. And I think this is all going to pay off as the season goes along. Everybody's going to find their spot. Everybody's going to have continuity and understand what they're going to do. It's only going to make this bullpen better. And I think you and I talked about it last time, how guys can go multi-innings, how important that is. And we saw tonight what it could have been with McGill coming out for the ninth inning. So those things are going to all change this year. There's going to be a little bit of a change. There's going to be some trials and errors and things are going to happen, but I still believe that this bullpen is going to be very good and one of the best in all of baseball.
I agree. Let me get to a few more Twitter responses here as well. William gets my vote, this one from Brew Crew Stan. He continues to be a stable bat in this lineup no matter if the guys around him are struggling. And a couple of all of the above votes coming from Steve and from Three Oaks as well. So this has been a fun poll tonight. Let's do talk about the offense before we cut you loose, Augie. That's going to come up on the other side of this break. 855-616-1620. Again, 855-616-1620. As the Brewers adjust to life without Yelly, what does that mean and what do the numbers tell us? Stay with us after this on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Let's get to some data, some hard reality data. Brewers win in 10, 2-1 the final. But life without Christian Yelich hasn't been super pretty. Before we do that, I want to remind you that Brewers Extra Innings is also brought to you in part by Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. Summer is right around the corner. And now through June 15th, Sider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical is offering over $1,500 off Central Air Systems. Again, $1,500 off Central Air Systems. You can schedule an appointment today at Sider.com. That's Sider.com. Brewers score two runs today, Augie, in 10 innings. They score one run yesterday in 9 innings, or rather on Wednesday, and they win that one. Life without Christian Yelich hasn't been great. And in fact, over the last week since he was removed from the game last Friday, so the last 7 full games, here's the run totals for them. 2 today, 1 on Wednesday, 3 on Tuesday, 3 on Monday, 4 on Sunday. They did score 11 on Saturday without Yelly, but you add all of that up, and you're sitting here thinking, oh man, what's going wrong with the offense right now?
Yeah, there's certain hitters that, you know, mean a lot. You all go back to the days of Ryan Braun, how much he meant to lineup. It's not a matter of who Ryan Braun is and what he was hitting. It's just the effect that he has on the other hitters. And Christian Yelich is that guy. He's that guy in the lineup that he does all the things that you need to do as a hitter that can help your ball club. He'll take a walk. He can steal bases. He runs the bases well. He can hit for average. He can hit for power. Those style guys, it's like you talk about a five-tool guy in a game of baseball. At the plate, they're just that more important because the team relies on him. He did it last year in a starting as a leadoff hitter. This year, they put him in the third spot in the lineup. He's made that adjustment. But it still comes down to you're going to go through times when you're not going to swing the bat well. And Yelly means so much to this ball club, and that's going to happen. Those things are going to happen. But it's about somebody new every day, and that's what we've seen. We've seen big guys come up in different situations. Right now, the shoulders of Contreras have been heavy because everybody's sitting on him because he's doing so much helping his ball club. But each and every night, we're seeing guys come through. We're seeing guys like Blake Perkins come and swing in the bat. Terrain's getting on base. Even Frelick tonight, he was 0-for-1, but he got on base twice versus a walk. So getting on base, allowing things to happen are important. It just needs different guys at different times in a game have to step up, and doesn't make a difference who it is. They have to do it, but Adames does mean so much in this ball club.
I agree. This one from Tom in South Dakota. It was me, Tom, who coined the Murphy's Masters nickname. Well, since then, buddy, they haven't been scoring. I'm just kidding. 5.5 runs per game thus far, but still missing Yelly big time. I agree, Tom. Appreciate the text here as well. And on the Frelick note, I mean, I don't want to be armchair manager all night on this show. I get why they pulled Frelick for Liberatore in a 1-0 game in the 7th inning for the left-on-left, But you had to figure if the Brewers were going to get any sort of rally, Sal was going to come back up, and you know all the leverage arms are going to be right-handed. I was a little surprised by pulling Sal there, even on his birthday, goodness. But I'll let Murphy stick with that decision because he's been pretty consistent at pulling Sal Frelick against tough left-handed pitching. But the rest of this lineup, another guy I want to highlight, we've highlighted him before, Blake Perkins. Blake Perkins, two hits today, 2 for 4, both of them doubles. He scored, of course, both of the runs today as well out of the eighth spot. The Brewers are going to have a really hard decision coming up when Garrett Mitchell returns coming up in about a month and a half time or so. Because if Blake Perkins keeps on this pace, look, he's not going to hit 350 all year. But if Blake Perkins continues to put bat on ball and play gold glove caliber center field, it's going to be a very, very crowded outfield.
Well, you know, you got to give him all the credit because the season started and he was used at only at times on the defensive side, and then he got his chance. And when he got his chance, he's gone out and produced. And what was tonight, like his sixth straight start? And every time he's been in the game, he's helped the ball club in some different way. He plays really good defense. He gets great jumps on the ball. He understands where the ball's got to go when there's a runner on base, what ball, where to throw the ball, and how to play good, strong defense. But on the offensive side, coming up with some big hits, giving good at-bats, getting on base when you have to. He's really showing something, and you're right. When Garrett Mitchell comes back, he's just going to have to, he's going to make the Brewers think about what direction they're going, but he's got to figure in, you got to have a guy like that on your ball club who can jump in, understands his job, and goes and does it each and every day. And I'll tell you, Blake Perkins has been fantastic the last week or so because he's done a great job.
He's got a 400 on base right now in 11 games. He's got 3 multi-hit games and only 2 hitless games. And he's reached base in all but one game of those 11 for the Brewers. I just wanted to make sure we shouted him out and make sure he got some love here on the show. Another text came in here asking about Bryce Terang. Why didn't he steal to avoid the double play in the ninth inning when Gary Sanchez hitting to his second double play? I was looking at the release times. Fernandez was a 1-4, so that's kind of right on the edge of a number that you want to steal on, meaning how long he takes to get to the plate. And I know St. Louis has only caught one runner so far this year. It seems like the decisions haven't been working out so far with keeping Sanchez. It's still early for Gary. I don't want to pull the plug on that yet, but I think for a guy that was the anticipation was he was going to be DHing a lot more than he has. I don't think the Brewers were anticipating Reese needing to DH as much as he had. And maybe you'll see more of Gary this weekend, given Jake Bowers is unfortunately on the bereavement list. But again, today for Gary, he went 0 for 4 with 2 double plays in key spots. He's now just 3 for 28 to start the season with the 1 home run in Baltimore. I'm not hitting the panic button or pulling the parachute yet here for Gary Sanchez, but you know, we're kind of getting it toward the end of the month here, and it's starting to feel like Luke Voit again.
You got to get some at bats, and I think the one thing Murphy's saying that here, you know, you just said he's hitting 3 for 28 or whatever it was. You got to give a veteran, a guy who's been around, who's been able to swing the bat, been pretty good behind the plate. You got to give them opportunity. You got to find out what's going to happen. Keesh was late coming into spring training, didn't have all the at bats that he probably would have normally had. If he had been there from the start. So I think what they're being is being a little patient and seeing where he fits in this ball club. But when you put together a ball club, everybody's got a place, everybody's got a job, and a guy like Sanchez could really help this ball club, but they got to figure out how does he fit, what is he going to do, where can he help this ball club, and that's going to be interesting to see and part of the puzzle they have to figure out to see what happens from this time on.
Like I wonder if he's going to catch tomorrow and William is going to DH, and then William back behind the plate on Sunday for Sonny Gray as they're in the middle of another 13 in a row, something to decide. I'm not, like I said, I am not pulling the plug. We know what Gary can do when he gets going. I'm just finding a hard time getting him enough at bats. And the Brewers are in the midst right now. This series, of course, not facing a lefty. They're going to face 3 consecutive righties. Just trying to get into my crystal ball here and look ahead to what's coming for the Pirates coming up next week, a 4-game set. I see 4 more righties most likely coming up next week as well. So maybe that natural spot for him to be a DH against left-handed pitching, which is what he was originally brought, maybe we'll see Bailey Falter next week. So that'd be the one lefty maybe we finally see him break this streak. But you're right. He needs at-bats. And it's hard to hit in the big leagues without consistent at-bats, but I'm going to give it a little bit more time before we make a definitive call on Gary.
I agree with you, Dom. I think you just got to give him some time. Plus, they wanted to face left-handed pitching, and the Brewers haven't had a lot of opportunities with left-hand starters. So it's going to be interesting. Is he going to fit into the part of puzzle? Is he going to fit where we need him? He's that capable of doing it. He's the kind of guy that been and played in the big-time games, and he could really help you. It's just going to see how does this all play out, where does it go in the future. And we'll see as he gets more at-bats what he can do with the ball. Help this ball club out a lot more than he has.
Yeah, he's only had 5 plate appearances against lefties this season. All right, game 2 tomorrow will be a day game at 1:15. You've got the day off, Augie, but you'll be back with us on Sunday. Appreciate your insight as always, my friend, and we look forward to chat with you at the end of the weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to it. Great way to start the road trip. Go, you play inside the division. We always talk about you got to win inside the division. Brewers start that tonight. It's a great ball game for the Brewers.
Great, great ball game. Always great to beat the Redbirds. Appreciate you as always, Augie.
Great to be with you.
All right, Jerry Augustine here on Brewers Extra Innings. Get to a few more of these texts here and some tweets that have rolled in. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Come on in, hang out. We're going to hear from Pat Murphy a little bit later on and some highlights later, too. Stay with us, WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Dominic Petronio. Let's get back to that player of the game poll. This was a fun one. Brewers win 2-1 in 10 innings today. They open up 1-0 against the Cardinals this season. Player of the game poll, over 300 votes. It's still William, but it's starting to tighten a little bit. Only 10 minutes left to vote if you're still listening, if you haven't voted yet. 48% to William, 39% to Freddie, and 11% to Hobie. So a good little mix there. William, of course, scoring the 2 runs, or driving in the 2 runs, certainly mattered for this one. Another text that came in asking, do you think the Brewers will make a trade for some starting pitching at some point? That one is from Bob. I struggle with this one because, A, there isn't a lot of good starting pitching available in this year's free agent class. That's realistically available, right? I'm not talking the Max Frieds and the Corbin Burns and the Nate Evaldis. I mean, those guys are on expiring deals, but they're not going to be available to the Brewers at a trade deadline. So if you're getting somebody with multiple years of control, it's going to be a pretty penny. And obviously they've got a logjam in the outfield they have to figure out, but I wouldn't say no to it, absolutely. But a reminder that Jacob Junis is due back hopefully sometime in early May at this rate, mid-May, if things continue to go well. He is throwing long toss flat grounds right now. He has not yet got off of mound. He'll have to build back up on a rehab assignment too. So they're certainly a candidate. Aaron Ashby is eligible to come back to the big leagues coming up next week if they so choose to go back to a 6-man rotation. You've also got Jansen Junk and now Tobias Myers available on the 40-man roster for spot starts as needed. But yes, I'm always going to listen to starting pitching. I'm always going to listen to that, see if the Brewers can make a deal to try to create some more depth out of the most valuable position in baseball. And remember, in the future, some of the guys that Brewers fans will certainly get to know, guys like Robert Gasser, who's injured right now. The Brewers expect him to make his big league debut at some point this year. He had bone spurs in his elbow, awaiting a further diagnosis and an actual rehab plan for Gasser. Carlos Rodriguez, who's not on the 40-man roster yet, but he'll be added to the 40-man this coming offseason for Rule 5 protection. Another guy that comes to mind, of course, Jacob Mizorowski, or the guy that they acquired from the Red Sox last year, Bradley Blaylock, who's off to a great start in AA right now. Those are two names that you can remember. And also, don't forget a guy like Coleman Crowe, a name that no one's really talked about. Coleman Crowe was acquired in the trade from the Mets this past offseason in the Tyrone Taylor-Adrian Hauser deal. He's recovering from Tommy John surgery, and a few scouts that I've talked to have really, really liked what they've seen from Coleman Crowe, and we'll see if he gets protected on the 40-man this coming offseason. But these are all things that have to be weighed. All right, you're going to block somebody from arriving a little bit sooner than, or block somebody from arriving if you go acquire somebody. But again, as I've said before, I'm never going to say no to pitching depth, especially in 2024. Some other things to note around the league today here on this busy Friday, a doubleheader. down at Wrigley as the Cubs won Game 1 over the Marlins. I'm looking for the final scores here right now. 8-3 for Game 1. They will play, or rather, they just had a day game today. They'll play a split doubleheader tomorrow. Other games that happened today, the Royals beat the Orioles. Royals have been fantastic. They win 9-4. Braves had a huge day from Travis d'Arnaud over the Rangers, 8-3. D'Arnaud hit three homers in that one. Juan Soto hit a homer for the Yankees. They're the next home opponent for the Brewers a week from today. Yankees over the Rays by a 5-3 final. In the Central Division, the Pirates lost at home to the Red Sox, 8-1. The Reds won at home over the Angels, 7-1. That's a quick peek around the scoreboard. Another reminder that Brewers Extra Innings all season long is brought to you in part by Fifth Third Bank. They also know how to hit out of the park. They've been serving businesses in the area for nearly 15 years, offering industry-specific expertise and local decision-making to help your business succeed. This is commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank, National Association, member FDIC. Highlights, Pat Murphy, all of that coming up shortly here on WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
Extra inning thriller. Brewers win their first extra inning game. 2-1 the final, and they're still a perfect 5-0 now in one-run games. They're the only undefeated team remaining in one-run games in baseball. We talked about the manager decisions earlier in the program. Let's hear from the man himself. Here's what Pat Murphy had to say after today's win.
Freddie and Contreras were unbelievable. William on both ends. You know, the big double and the big single. What can you say? He's clutch. Big game, 1-0 game. William and Freddie. Freddie was just spectacular, and they worked together. But Contreras was, you know, yeah, he earned his money tonight. He's going to earn a lot more, I promise you.
Even with McGill there, he went out for that meeting and sort of patted him, you know, tapped him on the chest. He probably knows it's a lot of work for a guy second inning.
Yeah, I mean, McGill had two rehab starts. He's in plenty of shape to do it. I just didn't want him to go past 30 pitches, you know. And after he got the first inning, as depleted as our pen is, which you guys have made note of, we're missing our closer. And, you know, but that pen is doing the job. Their numbers might not reflect it, but they're doing a great job. And, you know, I thought Piamps was more ready. I guess he wasn't ready. He still got a big out for us and gave us a chance to hang in there. So hats off to him for just getting the out. But McGill was very good for five outs, and Freddie was unbelievable. Milner, what do you say? I mean, Dr. Milner, he hasn't been his best out of spring training. He didn't have a great spring training results-wise. He wasn't throwing the ball great, but, you know, he did it in the clutch tonight, so real thankful for him. But, yeah, great day for Contreras. Perkins, too, don't forget this guy, you know. We didn't know he was going to make the team, and he's been unbelievable.
In McGill's first inning, to get both Goldschmidt and Arenado to pop up on first pitch fastballs,
yeah,
pretty good way to eliminate them.
Yeah, if you haven't seen McGill, it takes a minute. You know, he's very hard, throwing very hard from 6'8", so or however tall he is, 6'12", you know, and it's tough to see. So yeah. He's improved, you know, and he's improved, and that's a credit to our coaches and to him for being willing to do it. So it's great.
He's been fantastic, and how important that's been for the Brewers all season long. Now, I know it was a 2-1 game in extras, but there are still plenty of highlights to relive in this one. That's coming up next here on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ.
On deck, more Brewers Extra Innings. Tune in. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. Ready for this?
Get up!
This?
Get up!
And this?
Get out of here! Gone!
Time for tonight's highlights. Here's Dominic Catronio.
Game 1 of the season against the Cardinals. Always entertaining for an in-Central Division matchup. Kyle Gibson for the Redbirds. Freddie Peralta, the ace for the Brewers, and he certainly pitched like it tonight. We pick things up in the second inning. Scoreless game at this point. A one-out single by Wilson Contreras, Williams' big brother. Nolan Gorman then struck out for the second out, but then Mason Wynn singled through the right side. Men on first and second in a big spot early. Jordan Walker at the plate, and a little bit of chaos ensued.
Here's the 3-2 pitch. Swing, and he got a piece of it. No, he didn't. It goes all the way back to the backstop. Here comes the runner home. The throw to Peralta. He's out! Contreras tried to score all the way from second. He was moving on the pitch. It was a swing and a miss by Walker. William Contreras hustled all the way back to the backstop and threw it to Peralta, who is there to apply the tag on Wilson Contreras, and the inning is over. Wow, what an ending to the inning.
And with a little soft form tackle, if you will, there was no ill will there. It was no big deal. Then in the next frame, the Brewers took that momentum and took it into their offense. A one-out double by Blake Perkins, but he's still on second with two outs now. Sal Frelick draws a walk, and then little bro, Wild Bill at the plate.
The 1-0. Hard ground ball towards third and fair. Past the diving Arenado. It hits off the sidewall, and only one run will score because of that. Chugging into second is William Contreras, and the throw is not nearly in time. It's an RBI double, and the Brewers are on the board. William delivers. It's 1-0 in the third.
Josh Maurer's call here on WTMJ. Freddie got the shutdown inning in the bottom of the third and got some help from his defense in the fourth.
1-0 coming. Nootbaar lines one to second base. Tough one-hop pick by Terang. What a scoop. And he throws out Nootbaar. One down.
That was an incredible play, to say the least. Now we fast forward to the sixth inning. It's still only 1-0 Brewers in the lead, and Freddie Peralta dealing with a two-out rally. An 0-2 two-out single by Nootbaar. Then a 2-2 two-out infield single by Arenado. Then they kind of pitched around Wilson Contreras. It loads the bases, two outs, and Freddie's pitch number 100 of the night.
As loud as it's been at any point tonight, right now. 3-2 pitch. Swing and a miss! He struck him out! Elevated a fastball at 94. Freddie Peralta, been there, done that, veteran. And he acted like one to get himself out of a jam in the bottom of the sixth.
Lane Grindle's call here on WTMJ. Freddie did not factor into the decision. Six shutout innings, two walks, and seven strikeouts. Didn't factor into the decision because in the ninth, the Brewers blew the save. Trevor Megill was trying for a second inning of relief. With two outs, he allowed a walk to Mason Wynn, then a single by a pinch hitter, Nate Burleson. So that puts runners, or Alec Burleson, excuse me, puts runners on first and third with two outs. Pyomps comes in. He hits Herrera, then allowed a bases loaded walk to Brendan Donovan, and then we go to extra innings. And once again in extras, mama, there goes that man again. It's William Contreras.
Pitch. Ground ball back through the middle. How about that? Contreras delivers a base hit into center, and around third comes Perkins. He will score. William Contreras does it again. He pumps his fist as he gets to first base with a go-ahead RBI single.
He got both RBIs tonight. All that was left to do was get a save and the first one in the major league career of Homie Milner in the 10th.
Milner's 2-2. Breaking ball. Strike three called right over the outside corner at the knees. The Brewers win. Hobie Milner's first major league save. What a game. 2-1 Milwaukee. They win it in 10 innings. Their first extra inning game of the season. A thriller in St. Louis.
Josh Maurer brings us home. The Brewers win 2-1. Right back after it tomorrow afternoon at 1:15. Getting right back on track trying to win another series. We'll wrap up the program after this. Get you ready for tomorrow on 620 WTMJ.
Coming up, more Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ. This is Brewers Extra Innings on WTMJ.
All right, here's what we got for the next couple of days. Again, 1:15 first pitch both Saturday and Sunday down in St. Louis. And, of course, the Bucks are going to play on Sunday night as well. So tomorrow is the easy day. I'm on the air at noon with Brewers warm-up, getting you ready for the game. The network will take over at 12:40 for a 1:15 first pitch. Same thing on Sunday. I'm on the air at noon, 1240 network coverage for a 1:15 first pitch. But spend all day Sunday with us, because after the game, I've got you Brewers Extra Innings, which will go straight into Bucks shoot-around before their game tips off at 6 o'clock on Sunday night against the Indiana Pacers here in Milwaukee. So you can spend all day right here on WTMJ on Sunday for both the Brewers and the Bucks. Nobody else in this market can say that, okay? Remember that. And I've got post-game shows each of the next 2 days as well. Next week, also a little bit complicated because of things with the playoffs for the Bucks. A couple of nights, we might jump on over to ESPN Milwaukee, depending on tip times and what we get there. So, for instance, next week against the Pirates, Monday night will be as normal. Here we got a Brewers Extra Innings. But then on Tuesday, we're going to jump over to ESPN Milwaukee and do our whole show there next week on Tuesday. And then we'll wait on game times for Game 3 and for Game 4, we should be good for Game 3 on Friday, and then get Brewers and Yankees here on WTMJ. But that's getting way ahead of ourselves. Tomorrow, I'm on the air at noon. First pitch is at 1:15. We really hope you can join us, spend part of your weekend with us here on 620 WTMJ. So the Brewers win 2-1 in 10 innings, a thriller indeed. We learned a lot about the team tonight. My thanks to Jerry Augustine for joining us this evening, and to Max Meyerson, our producer, back in our studios. I'm Dominic Catronio. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And until then, keep on swinging.